Right. You vote no on it. That's it. Vote no. Vote no. That's it. All right. Today being the 27th of October, 2024, we want to finish out this lesson. And we were in 1 Thessalonians last Sunday. Today we're in 2 Thessalonians. We were looking at this. We looked at last week the circumstances for this second letter. And we were looking at Paul's teachings. We saw his concern last week for the new converts in Christ. And then we saw how he commended them for their faithfulness unto the Lord, even while they were going through severe persecutions. But then I want you to see today that Paul also let them know that he was praying for them here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And I want us to look here at verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We're looking at verses 11 and 12. And in this, I want you to read this with me, or you can follow along. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul was trying to encourage them about here was their walk in the Lord, their day-to-day walk in the Lord. You know what? Some folks may ask and say, well, what does it mean to walk with the Lord? Okay? But it means to be with him, spend time with him. All right? I take my little dog out and I'll walk her, and we just let her go sniff, follow rabbits and the deer. We were out last night and the deer were out running through the woods and things like that. And she's standing there in her little three-point stance, okay? And I'm telling her, don't go after them. They'll hurt you, you know, stuff like that. But you're spending some time together. Lisa and I will go out. We'll just go walking. And just spending time together, one with the other. It's that time of fellowship. It's a time of communion. And, you know, when we get up in the mornings, we need to be thanking the Lord that we've got that opportunity to walk and to talk with the Lord. He wanted them to walk worthy of their calling in Christ, even as others had done before them. All right? Look at the early church believers just a moment in the book of Acts chapter number 5. In Acts chapter number 5, the Bible said, beginning in verse number 38, Luke wrote here and he said, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. The religious world was trying to do away and overthrow what the teachings were going about Christ. And Jesus had risen from the dead. And Jesus had ascended back up into heaven. He had paid the debt for man's sins. He had been buried for 3 days and three nights. Now he had risen, but the Jewish leaders did not want the people hearing this message. They did not want them to know what Christ had done for them. And so now the disciples are standing and they're being accused of doing things wrong. They're being threatened for the work that they're doing for the Lord. And a man stands up and he says, hey, you're going to be fighting against God here. If this is of man, it'll come to naught. But if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. And folks, I want you to understand today, we're on the winning side. Amen? Amen. And you cannot overthrow the Lord God. The Bible said, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, have any of you been beaten for the cause of Christ as of yet? Not as of yet. That day may come. But these folks, they took the threatenings. They were beaten because they preached the word of God. And look at this. And they were commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. Folks, you can teach and you can stand and talk in any other name that you want to speak about in this world today, but if you mention the name of Jesus, Buddy, you're in trouble today, it seems like. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want truth. And the Bible said, and they let them go. And they, talking about the disciples, those apostles that had been beaten and threatened, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. You know what? These men, they realized, listen, we've got something the world needs to hear about today. And folks, the same message is what we need to be teaching and preaching today. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. Later, Paul would request of them for prayer. He would tell them that he needed their prayers. In 2 Thessalonians here, chapter number 3, look at it just a moment. Verses 1 and 2, Paul would request them to pray for him. And what did he ask them to pray for? Look what he said. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Not that they would be rich, not that they would be prosperous, not that they would have all the wealth and the health and all this stuff in the world. That was not what was important to them. But look what he said. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Amen. For all men have not faith. Boy, is that a statement today. Not everybody's got faith in Christ. And you know what? We need to pray for deliverance from wicked and unreasonable men. Why? So that we can be able to present the Word of God to those who need to hear it. Now, going back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we read in verses number 1 and 2, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Someone had obviously forged a lie against the Apostle Paul and against the message that he was preaching and teaching and stating that the Lord had already come, and now these believers were living in a time of the great tribulation. And folks, let me remind you of something. You and I have not been saved unto wrath, okay? The wrath of God is going to come upon those wicked men and women who have rejected God as their Lord and their Savior. They've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I will not be going through the great tribulation. Now, we may suffer some persecutions. We may suffer some times of tribulation and peril in our world today. We may go through some times like that. We're going to see that happen. But we're not talking about that great time of tribulation that's going to come against this world for their rejection of truth. Folks, we have been saved, and we're not to be distressed about that. The Apostle Paul here, he wrote this second letter, and he wrote it for us today as well. The Spirit of God gave him these words that we could know what must come to pass. What must come to pass. And that day of great tribulation is coming. But there were signs that would show us what would happen before those days. And folks, listen, if we can see the signs of His literal second physical coming to this earth, how much more should we be living for Christ, because we know that 7 years before that, He's taking us, the born-again believers, the church, the body of Christ, He's taking us out of here. And folks, we've got everything to look forward to today. So stay faithful for God. Live for the Lord. Look at this. In verse number 3, He instructs them, writing, "Let no man deceive you by any means." Have you ever lived in such a day that we've seen deception like it is today? Boy, deceiving and being deceived. We are seeing that today. That's a sign of the Lord's coming. "For that For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that falling away from true biblical teaching, it can and it will begin before the Church of Christ is ever raptured out of this earth. We're seeing it today. We're seeing folks deceived in doctrine, deceived in the truth of the Word of God. They're not accepting truth. And there are deceivers out there teaching stuff that is not biblically sound. And there's a great falling away. Folks are giving up and quitting their living for the Lord. But look at this. Number two, in that same verse, as well as goes on to verse number four, he writes this, "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, folks, I want you to understand something. After the church is raptured out of this world, after we are taken out and the Holy Spirit of God is taken out of this world, literally, the devil is going to have full reign. And folks are going to be deceived. They're going to fall for a great delusion. We'll see this here in just a few moments. But that man of sin will be revealed. That son of perdition, the Antichrist, will be revealed after the church has been taken out of here. Now, a lot of folks today say, well, I think it's going to be this person. I think it's that. I think it's this. We don't have a clue who this is actually going to be. But the spirit, that attitude of Antichrist, is amongst us today. That spirit is here today. We see it everywhere we go. They want to deceive. They want to lie, just like they did to Eve there in the Garden of Eden, and say, oh, well, God didn't really say this. And then the devil wants to try to teach us what God really meant in his word. Listen, don't listen to the devil's crowd. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you as a believer. And he will teach you all things. He will guide you. And if you will stay in the book and allow the book to stay in you, you will not be deceived. You will not be deceived by the wicked one. You won't do that. And the Bible teaches us here that we need to stay in the Word of God. But number three, I want you to see this. Before this man of perdition can be revealed, and all these things happen, the Holy Spirit of God must be taken out of here. Now, my wife has perfume that she sprays, okay? And I don't know how she ever gets it on her. She holds it way out here and sprays like that. The whole bathroom smells good. I mean, yeah. You got to get up real close to smell and see if she smells good. But she does smell good. But she sprays that little perfume. And that stuff is expensive. That stuff is expensive. But you know what? It's not the bottle that's so expensive. You can go on Amazon and buy little spray bottles of stuff. And it costs you mere pennies on the dollar. I mean, it's just nothing. But it's what's in the bottle that makes that bottle of perfume so expensive. That's what's precious. That's what brings the great fragrance and the sweet odor, okay? That makes her smell so good, okay? I mean, even Precious likes to smell it. She'll go up and smell that, you know. But listen to me. That sweet Holy Spirit that dwells in each of us, when we are taken out of here, guess what? The sweet fragrance of the Spirit of God goes with us. And the Bible tells us here, verses 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Notice that word wicked is capitalized. That's a description of a person. That's a person's name. The wicked one. Okay? It describes a person. And then, after the Spirit is taken out, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You and I, folks, have been left here to be salt, a preservative, and light. That which distinguishes a difference between the darkness. Light dispels darkness. If you go in my office in there and you turn out the light, you're going to have to be feeling around to make sure you don't bump into something, okay? Because there's no light to reveal things. Light reveals truth, okay? It reveals truth. And the Bible talks about that light. You and I are light. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 5, listen to what he said. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And you got to remember today, folks, we are the salt. We are the light that God has left upon this earth. And when we are taken out of here, boy, that light, that salt is going to be gone. And the devil is going to be doing some great deceiving during that time. And I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. And I want all my family to know that they're saved. And I want my friends and neighbors and everybody else. And that's why we tell folks about Christ. I wouldn't want anybody to be left here. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And as we read here, in these verses, we see that when the bride of Christ, which is the Spirit of God, contains the Spirit of God, is taken out, Paul writes here and he says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why are they going to perish? Because they've rejected the truth. They have rejected truth. What did John 3:16 say? Everybody knows John 3:16. But it said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should what? Not perish. They should not die without hope, but have everlasting life. These folks rejected that message. These folks that are left behind have rejected the truth. And now, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, they chose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they chose to reject him, now it's too late for them. The Spirit of God has been lifted out. They have been turned over to deception. And look at this, the next verse. And for this cause, because they have rejected the truth, because they have rejected the love of God that was shed upon all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere in this world, because they've rejected that, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. Now, folks, let me say something. We are seeing this in this political realm today. And we are seeing such deception and so many lies, and people can have the truth set before them, and yet they will believe a lie. And we stand there scratching our heads. I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you today that you cannot see truth? Folks, can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Spirit of God is not here to deal with them? They've rejected truth. They rejected the love of God. They rejected all those things. And now they've been turned over to strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Look at this. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They enjoyed living in sin. They enjoyed the pleasures of sin, which we know from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is only for a season. Folks, what a sad day it's going to be for those folks who have rejected Christ and they've heard the truth and they've chosen not to accept the truth. And when the Lord takes us, the body, born again body of believers, out of this world, those folks that have heard that truth and they've heard the message and they've rejected it forever, forever. The Bible said they are damned who believed not the truth. Some of the believers at this church in Thessalonica had gotten so caught up in believing the lie that Christ had already come that they had quit their jobs. They were lazy. They just sat idle. They caused disorder within the church. And it was causing a burden upon the church. And if you look here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, begin here in verse number 10, Paul writes to them and he said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Well, boy, you know what? If we put that back in work order today, I think there'd be a lot of change of mind, don't you? If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Listen, if you don't work, you don't eat. I can go out and be splitting wood, and I was out splitting wood and getting stuff ready for winter. You know, I'm looking forward to sitting in front of a nice warm fireplace. Splitting wood makes you warm twice, you know that, right? Once while you're cutting it and splitting it, and then once while you're sitting in front of it and enjoying it. But, buddy, I was hungry when I came in. And my wife, she'd already fixed some stuff. And she said, "I saw you out there. I knew you was going to be hungry. Come on in." She saw I was working. And, man, she rewarded me for that. Today, we reward people whether they work, they do anything. We just give them. Everybody gets a trophy, okay? Everybody gets a trophy. Folks, Paul said, listen, if you don't work, neither should you eat. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are what? Busybodies." Boy, we got a lot of busybodies today, don't we? The TV is full of them. I watched this thing on a review on something. They called it The View, and a bunch of these women are all on there. Just busybodies. Good night. Saw the commercial. I thought, man, that's not something I want to watch. Look what the Bible said. "Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he might be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." What is Paul trying to tell these folks? He said, listen, if you see somebody doing something wrong, don't just throw them away. Love them. Try to teach them truth. Show them where they've erred and love them so that they will go back and do that which is right. But he's speaking here about brethren. Listen, we need to be teaching and enforcing the truth today, don't we? We need to be telling folks the truth. And let them know what God said. And he also taught this church regarding those that would not work because they walked disorderly among them. They came in the church and they just expected this and expected that. I've had many folks call and say, well, you know, I've got folks that's coming in for the holiday season and I don't have enough food, so I need you to bring me food every Thursday night this month, so I'll have food for that. Folks, we have a pantry here, and we do want to help folks with food. And we try to help those that have a need. But that's just not the way we do things here, okay? It's just not the way we do it. The Bible said they're busybodies. They're expecting something for nothing. They won't go to church. They won't live for the Lord. They won't listen to truth. And yet they expect us to feed them, to clothe them, and everything else. I'm there to help them out, but I want to be a help. But folks, they need to take responsibility. And these folks were not willing to take responsibility. And so Paul admonishes them about that. And then he comes down, verse 15, he said, yet not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That word admonish simply means this. It means to lovingly teach, to warn, or to notify of a fault, to reprove with mildness, to counsel against wrong practices, to caution, to advise, to instruct, or to direct in a truthful and loving manner. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help our brothers and sisters in Christ to see the truth and to understand. Listen, this is the way we ought to be living for Christ. This is our testimony for the Lord. You remember what Solomon wrote over in the book of Proverbs? He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You know, when the pastor stands up in the pulpit and he has to preach hard to us and try to help us to see these are things that we need to be doing for God and these are things that we don't need to be doing for God. And then somebody gets upset and says, well, that pastor, he shouldn't preach that. He doesn't love me. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't tell you the truth. But he does love you. I love you today. And Solomon wrote here, he said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Why do we get on to our children? Why do we tell them, don't do this, or don't be with that person, or don't go that place, or whatever? Why? Because we love them enough to do that. We want them to live a good and peaceable life, especially with us, okay? We want them to live a good, peaceable life with their parents. Not to reject truth, but to accept it. And sometimes God has to chasten us, does he not? He does that through his word. Why? Because he loves us. And folks, listen, don't get upset if the pastor has to say something that you don't like. Look at it through the truth. Look at it through the Word of God. And if he's telling us truth, we need to apply that truth to our lives, to our hearts, and then walk worthy of that vocation, that job that we have as a Christian. We need to walk worthy with the right kind of testimony. Here in Hebrews chapter number 12, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment. And in Hebrews chapter number 12, Paul wrote these words. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 5. He said, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasures, talking about the earthly fathers. But he, talking about God now, he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God never chastens us to hurt us. He chastens us, he rebukes us to help us. He is doing it for our good and for his glory. That's what Paul was saying. And he wants us to understand that. Now look what he said. Now, think about this. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. I can remember when my dad would whip me with a belt, okay? He called me into the conference room in our house. The conference room was the bathroom, okay? He closed that door. He sat on the commode seat. He moved the clothes hamper out of the way. And he pulled that belt off. And buddy, when he pulled that belt off, I knew he meant business. And it was not joyous, let me tell you. I went to school many days with stripes upon my little legs, okay? That's why I wore long pants, all right? Listen, I remember when my grandmother would switch me. You know what it means to be switched? Anybody know that? And she would make me go out and pull a limb off the bush. And if I didn't get one that was big enough, then she got one that was bigger than what I would have gotten. And sometimes she didn't even pull the leaves off of it. She had a way she could hold that switch at the end and just run her hand all the way up through that thing, and the whole, all the leaves would come off. And boy, she had whacked me with that thing. It was not joyous, okay? I remember that. But listen to me. It helped me to learn that there are consequences for doing wrong. And folks, our world today thinks there are no consequences for sin. Our world today thinks that they can get away with anything and everything. That's the deception that the devil has taught. But folks, we need to understand, there's no joy, okay? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame it be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Paul closes this letter in verses 16 and 17 by saying this, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Folks, you and I need to walk and display the testimony that Christ has given unto us in our lives each and every day. And that's why we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God because God wants us to see and to hear and to understand truth. And if we reject truth, then one day we'll have to stand before God. And you know what? I don't want to stand before God knowing that I have rejected His truth. Stay in the book. Stay in the Word of God. Don't let people deceive you. Don't let people cause you to doubt the Word of God as Satan did. From the very beginning, all the devil has done is try to get folks to not believe, not trust the Word of God. He did it there in the Garden of Eden, and he's doing it today. But you know what? It is a blessing to know the truth. Why? Because the truth shall set you free. Amen? The truth will set you free. Now, next week, I'm going to start into the book of Revelation here in the latter part of this lesson. And I want you to see about our Lord's return. And when we look at these books in the book of Revelation, we're going to be looking at chapters 1, 2, and 3. We're going to be looking at the church age. And we're going to be looking at where we are today in light of God's Word. And folks, I'm telling you, I believe today we are living in those last days. You realize Israel this week went into Iran. Okay, you saw that on the news. It wasn't a big thing on the news, but they went into Iran. They bombed the ballistic missile bases and things like that. This was instrumental. And you know what? We're seeing things come to pass just as the Bible says it's going to happen before the Lord Jesus takes us out of here. And now all the nations are gathering and they're thinking, how can we go and defeat Israel, God's chosen people? You think about that. If you go against God's chosen people, you're going to stand against God Himself. And boy, are they in for a big awakening. Folks, truth. Nobody likes truth. But our Savior is the one who gives truth. And we need to look at it in the light of God's Word and not be discouraged, but be excited, because we are living in a day that we may just see the Lord Jesus take us out of here and bring His wrath down on those who have rejected God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you listen to me, the very next verse says, but the day of the Lord will come. And folks, we're headed toward that day. Now I ask you this today, I've got a little time here, but I just want to ask you this today. Are you sure that you know Christ as your Savior? Are you living for the one who has saved you? If you're saved today and you know Christ is your Savior, I want to beg you, live for Him. Walk worthy of Him, His name today. Live for Christ. Don't let the world deceive you. Do not let the world cause you to give up. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And He has established our great salvation, and He will finalize it one day, amen, when we're with Him in heaven. And what a day that's going to be. I want to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I know you do today too. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And Lord, there's so much in this precious Word of God, Lord, that you have given unto us. You want us to see and realize, Father, that you've got a plan. And God, you're working that plan. And Lord, I ask you today to please help us, God, to be found faithful to live for you. Don't let us be deceived by the lies that the devil is telling in our world today. But Lord, help us to stay in the Word of God and to know that truth is what you want us to declare. And Lord, if there be anybody under the sound of my voice today that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, maybe they've just been trying to be religious or whatever. God, I pray, Lord, you'll help them to see their need to be saved and come to you today and accept you as their own personal Savior. Live for you so that one day they can stand before you. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll be with our pastor now as he stands to preach. Fill him with your power, dear God, today. We'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school. Make sure you pick up a prayer sheet as you go out the door.